Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 122 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. This episode is our New York City Marathon course breakdown with 19th place finisher in the 2017 New York City Marathon, Kate Pilardi. Kate is a rock star and was my episode 100 guest, which we recorded live the night before last year's race. Topics covered: the expo and race weekend, race day logistics, race plan, fueling, how to run the bridges, save something for Fifth Avenue, and most importantly, have fun. It's the Five Borough Block Party. This was a fun back and forth convo from IG Live where we shared each other's perspectives. Kate's from running in the pro field and mine from 11 previous races in New York City. Good luck to all taking on the best marathon in the world. So everybody, IG world, all the people waving, thank you so much for joining us. We've got some familiar faces. I see my girl Amelia's in the house, my man Michael Gordon. For everybody who might not be familiar with Kate, she finished 19th place in New York City. What year was that, Kate?
That might have been 2018. I don't know. It all blends together. It all blends together. I think that was the year I might have been 20th, and I got bumped up because of a little bit of a drug thing. So I'll take it. You know?
Hell yeah.
I don't know. All my years blend together.
Absolutely. You'll take it. Are you kidding me? Top 20 in New York City is seriously badass. And also, I know you were so close in Boston to be in top 20. I think you were one place behind Sarah Hall, right? I think you were 20th
I think
or 21st,
I just
right?
missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when we just put 20-ish, like top 20-ish.
Yeah.
Like we just put the ISH so people don't know what's happening.
Absolutely. So listen, we thought it'd be fun with our experience, Kate, running New York a lot, and this is my 12th, to get some perspective, to share some preview of the course itself, talk a little bit of race strategy, but also talk a little about the weekend. Some of the folks that might be joining, or even if they're not joining right now with us live, they might be tuning in after the fact tomorrow, sometime next week. They might be first-time runners. They might be really nervous. And they might be like, oh, shit, what have I gotten myself into? I have no idea what I'm doing. So I kind of want to cover a little bit of everything, Kate. So this is more for me, because you're not the kind of person that would even want to hang out at an expo. You don't even want to go into the expo. Okay,
but I would be with like the hood over, the big sunglasses, avoiding everybody, like just pretending. I don't do expos. I'm very nervous the day before a race. And if I could avoid my kids, I would avoid them as well, but I can't. So I'm not a big expo person. I would definitely tell anyone though to keep it on the minimal. You're Mr. Expo, so you go. You go. I could see you like shaking hands, signing, autographing baby little onesies, you know?
Yeah, and probably doing like 7,000 selfies and videos and all the social stuff. But even though I am known to do that, if this is an important race for you, other than maybe running for a charity, or maybe it's your first marathon and you just want to get it done, man. You want to prove to yourself that you can actually get it done. But maybe it's a really important race. Like it's a breakthrough race. You're trying to go for a sub three or a BQ, or maybe even run an Olympic trials qualifying time. Man, the last thing, by going to the expo multiple times, walking around on a concrete floor at the Jacob Javits Center. And then I'll lead into this one, because this has become the age of shakeouts, man. And I've hosted many myself. There are literally 25, 30 that I already know of. And we're not even at race weekend. We're 14 days out. So for everybody out there, there's going to be this huge temptation. Well, let me go to this shakeout. Let me go to that one. Let me go to that one. And guess what, man? Your legs are not going to be happy when you've got to scale the Verrazano Bridge. So
you really do have to be careful in some of these shakeouts, because I feel like you could go too fast, right? Like my shakeouts are so slow. And then I do some strides. You don't want to get pulled into something that you're not supposed to be doing, right? All the excitement, all of a sudden you're running too fast. Like I'd be very careful that you're running slow enough before race day.
Absolutely. And look, we're going to cover the other stuff more quickly, and then we're going to get into the actual course, and we'll spend a lot more time on just Kate's experience, my own experiences, maybe the best practices for how to run it. But next big thing is race day logistics itself. And looking at Kate in the screen, she's one of the few people who scares the shit out of me. Like, when she tells me stuff like, you better do this. You better have your gluten-free macaroni with butter. I don't want to hear about you getting, you know, gluten poisoning, you know, the day before the race. And you know what? She's not wrong. You have to have a basic routine. You have to nail it down. And there can't be any mystery to it. You don't get up race morning, you know, after missing your first two or three alarms and start into scramble mode. And I've seen it too many times, Kate. You're local. I'm local. I've seen people tempting fate on which ferry they're going to get on or which bus they're going to get on. And all of a sudden,
that just adds so much stress. Yeah. It's so much stress.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
You don't want it, right? So the basics are, if you are new, and you know, many of my running friends wouldn't be, but there is always going to be a first timer that's going to watch something like this, man. You have to nail it all down. Pin your race bib on. You know, have your outfit fully prepared. Race morning. What if it rains race morning? What's your throwaway gear situation? Do you have a blanket? All of those things should be done well in advance. There are thrift stores around New York City. Even if you're not from here and you're from another country, you can buy cheap stuff at Marshall's or Target and get your throwaway clothes or cheap blankets or other things. But make sure you are prepared for that stuff. That's not to be left for Saturday night, night before the race.
You know, it can be so cold race morning. Even having like hand warmers in your hand just in case, like you don't want to start this race cold. Like that just could be the worst thing. So you might as well look like a little bit crazy than being cold, right? That's the one thing. You just can't be cold.
Yeah. So absolutely. And you know what? The other thing you can't be is late. Mm-hmm. This is not the one day of the year that you have to be ahead of your schedule. You got to be waiting. Look, it's a village. You can hang out. You know, you can go in your own world, wrap yourself in a cocoon, in a space blanket or other things, and just get away from people. Or if you're nervous and talking will help you, you could find some people to go hang out with. And the earlier you get there, the more you can get into your routine, go to the bathroom, do all the things.
I will say, okay, so for the Boston Marathon, I tempted fate. And I got on the start line. I'm not kidding. I was running with policeman to get me to the elite start. We're sprinting. I went into the bathroom, straight to the start line, gun goes off. And I'm telling you, it did not, I did fine, but I didn't really get like that. It was stressful and you don't want that. And I could hit myself a million times, but I almost bungled that one. Like, it was bad. It was bad. You want to give yourself time. You want the warm up. You want to be calm. Just don't be me. Like, don't roll the dice. That was bad.
Listen, that's why we want to share some of those examples, because I've certainly had my fuck ups in scramble sessions, and you get to a certain number of them. This is marathon 77 for me. And it's crazy that as I've gotten older, I've actually gotten better. I get up way earlier. I eat my food way earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I get all my stuff out and I am going to bed. People won't believe this because they see all my pictures being out, hanging out. I'm going to bed at 8 or 8:30 the night before a marathon. I can't do that at home. But if you do it right, you're going to wake up. You're going to have had some sleep or at least your body's rested. Even if it isn't sleep, like REM sleep, your body's rested. Get up.
Yeah.
And set to go. Now, next topic before we get to actual course is race plan. And race plan obviously varies greatly, Kate, depending on you running in the elite field or somebody trying to run, you know, an OTQ time or maybe a BQ time. But it doesn't matter. Even if you have, your goal is just to finish, you still have to have a race plan, right? So kind of talk that through.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think we can all agree on that you just cannot go out. Almost you can't go out slow enough on that first mile. It's the biggest mile. It's the biggest hill in the race, the hardest mile in the race. You have a 4% climb and it's the first mile of the race. So how many times it's like you have to just trust that that mile has to be slow, calm. I would say I ran it when I did it. The whole elite field goes, right? Very mentally like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But I went 10 seconds slower than what I wanted to run on that day, knowing on the backside of that is downhill. You know this. So you can make up a little time. You don't want to crush your quads, but taking that first mile and saying, all right, I'm going to run 10, 15, it doesn't matter, 10, 15, 20 seconds slower than my average pace. It's going to set you up for the rest of the race. But it's very easy with all the helicopters and the this and that, and everyone's excited and everyone's going, I want to be so, just let them go, let them go, let them go, and just be calm, climb easy, you know?
Yeah, that's great advice, because it's very hard. If you're on the upper bridge, you get the better views, right? So if you're blue, you're going to be on the right side of the bridge. If you're orange, you're going to be in the upper left. Kate was in elite, so they're still on the upper bridge. Lower, like local competitive, which they changed it to pink this year, and the other color down there, I believe, is green. You know, you don't have as steep a hill when you're on the lower bridge. It's a huge difference, but it is a benefit. It's not as steep. It is absolutely steeper on the top. But what goes up must come down, right? As Kate just said so eloquently.
Oh, yeah.
So you go up that big ass hill, but you get to go down the big ass hill. But I'm telling you, temptation, don't let it suck you in. It's so silly to have people just blowing by you and feel like, oh, let me speed up a little. No, no. I guarantee if you want to really have some fun, take a look at some of those idiots that are running by you that are like anaerobic in the first half mile or mile. And when you pass them like a block or two into Brooklyn, oh, yeah. You can have a laugh and say, thanks, Kate. Thanks, Ron, because I really didn't just blow my entire race up, you know, not even a mile into it.
So yeah.
Just chill and, yeah. You know, enjoy this. Enjoy the Frank Sinatra, you know, enjoy the helicopters buzzing, enjoy the water cannons and all of it, man. Because if you don't enjoy that, you're missing out. And
that's what I'm saying. Just enjoy that first mile. Like, you should not be breathing hard. You should be looking around, chatting. Let it be easy. Just let it be easy. And then you start grooving into the race after that.
Absolutely. So as we're going to get into the course now, you just hit mile one. Let's just step back for 1 second and just talk about fueling. Because it's something, because of not only your marathon acumen and your incredible results, how many time Olympic trials qualifier? Two?
Two.
Three? Two.
No, two. So
two-time Olympic trials qualifier, you know, top 20 in New York and just about the same in Boston. But what people may not know about Kate is she also won the JFK 50 miler. So she's a stud in the ultra world too. And if anybody who has kicked my ass and got me to realize just how important fueling is to marathoning, it's her. But only because of her own struggles that she had trying to get it right. And she just wanted me to be better and perform better. So how about just taking us through a little bit about fueling strategy and just talking that through for runners, you know, in terms of what they're going to need to do.
So fueling, if you're starting to push the limit in the marathon, like you're trying to really grind out some harder times where you're going to start pushing that ceiling where you're not just hanging out in zone two anymore, you know, you're starting to touch into zone three, zone four, where your heart rate's going up, you need fuel. And I fought this for a long time. I have a bad stomach. So I thought less fuel, better, but I just kept hitting, you know, I thought I was trained, you know, to run a certain pace, right? Let's say 6:05, 6:10 in the marathon. And then I would fall apart until I learned that I need to eat. So my fueling for marathons is a little different than ultras, is different in triathlons, but marathons for me is consistently taking a gel. I do Clif gels. Hopefully everyone has their fueling practice, but it is literally every 3 miles. So you're really putting them in every three and a half. So you're putting them in every 20 minutes. And I try to do it when I see an aid station coming. There's no rhyme. I see, okay, I'm at that 3.5 mile mark ish. I see an aid station because I like to take it and then get some water in. That's me. I don't like it. Like, it's not a good time. I just squeeze it in. I swallow, I get the water in, and I just keep going. I don't like it at all, but my stomach's fine. I learned a gel that works. I just keep doing it. Sometimes if I fall off, like, you know, there's a point where we're all like, if I take one more goddamn gel on this cord, that's fine. So I get six down and then I just go to Gatorade after that. And that's what I do. And it works for me. So, but this is the thing. If you fall off your fueling, like something just doesn't sit in your stomach, you need to still get calories in. So or your whole pace could fall off, especially if you're pushing up. So I go to the Gatorade. I know that works for me. Sometimes you think you can't do it, but I usually can. I'm usually fine. I've been fine. So I'm just saying, just stay on top of that, because it'll really, sometimes you fall off pace, not because you're not in shape, but because your body's either dehydrated or it's underfueled.
That's totally clutch. And just sharing from my own experience, and again, so much driven from your feedback. It's taken me forever, but I finally found, I used Morton for a couple of years. They were sponsoring me, and I just have a sensitive stomach with my celiac, and it's just tricky for me. And I no longer can work with Morton, even though it's a great product, and, you know, Kipchoge and every amazing marathon or ultra marathoner and cyclists, endurance cyclists, Ironman triathletes are using them and using them well. For me, I had to find UCAN. I've never been more happy with a gel. They're big, they're large to carry. So what I did is I had a marathon expo. They're available. They'll be at the New York City Marathon Expo, but you could save yourself the struggle and just go on Amazon and buy it. It's cheap. It might be $15. They make a little squeezable flask that GU makes. It'll hold 4 UCAN gels because they're big gels. And I actually filled up 2 of them. So I had 8 gels in my 2 flasks for Chicago. And that's the reason my splits, if you looked it up, they were until the 35 to 40K split. My splits were within 10 seconds of each other for every 5K. So for me, for fueling, I do every 5K versus you doing every 3 miles. And, you know, I really didn't even have to have Gatorade in Chicago because I had 8 gels. But if I would have gone the other way, just as you had said, I would have gone that way. So now that we covered fueling, let's get back to the course. So you took us over to Verrazano. For everybody who's tracking, we call it the 5-barrel block party. It's not a very little block party in Staten Island. It's 2 miles. So we're into Brooklyn very quickly. So we're in Brooklyn now. You know, that part of the course is pretty straightforward. And, you know, I'll let you take
it. I mean, it really is. It's pretty flat. I think it's like 11 miles and it's pretty flat. Like, you really can just get into your pace. This is where you should just be literally mindlessly ticking over miles, getting your fuel. This should be no problem. You shouldn't be in a pain cave here. This is where you can just go. I don't want to say go dark, but just focus inward and just tick away the miles. There's nothing fancy here. There isn't. It's, I mean, the only thing that could be hell here is a headwind, you know? And that's where I told you, hide behind somebody, like tuck right in behind somebody. This is your race. You tuck right in. You let them take the win. I mean, I didn't really get many advantages being like very lonely on the road, but I tell you, if I had someone to tuck behind, I'd find the biggest goddamn person on the course and I'd be like, I'm going right behind you. So yeah, but take away those miles in Brooklyn. Very, very easy to just consistently stay on pace.
Agree. It's flat. You know, you pass the Barclays Center around mile 8. You make a right-hand turn into Lafayette Avenue. The crowds are really deep there. We all have our favorite spots of the course, but I always feel like there's a great energy surge in that part of the course because, you know, the first couple of miles, you're just, I don't know, for me, it's just like, I'm like, whatever, here we are. You know, we're just rolling along. But you're right. You got to check something. So if you have a pace band, if you've written down your splits in some way, if your miles on your watch are turned to auto lap versus not auto lap, I personally turn auto lap off because when you go to Chicago and Tokyo and a lot of these big city places, you're not going to get accurate GPS readings anyway. So I just basically auto lap every 5K. It's a simple strategy for me. It's something I use. It's very effective. Every 5K, I hit my watch. I know what I'm looking to run or less, and it's 8 times, you know, 40K is going to get you there, 2.2K to go. So that's the way I approach it. A lot of other people are just hell bent on running with a pace group and they freak out wildly if they like lose touch with them. And I try to tell people all the time, look, you know, you're putting all of your faith, your 4 or 5 months of training into whoever that person is, whoever that man or woman is. Maybe they don't want to bank time on a certain day. Maybe someone else isn't going to bank time and they're going to run faster at the end. But what you don't know is how they're going to execute to get you to that number, 330, 305 or something. So, you know, let's talk through that a little bit.
Well, so one thing is funny because I actually like to keep my watch on auto lap because that's how I train, right? Okay, so this is a 2-strategy thing. I realize the course is your indicator, right? Those clocks on the course are telling you what time you're at. So I use both. This is like a distraction method than anything else, right? Because you have your watch mile split, you have the course mile split, then you're trying to do some math in your head. But it keeps me a little better on pace than waiting every 5K, because sometimes I just want to stay in that. I'm very good at just what I saw in training. So, but I don't take my watch as what's real. I check it to the course, right? Oh, that's key. So if you're going to auto lap, do not 100% trust your watch, but I understand it can help you maybe pace better than a pace group because you know what you did in training. What if you like to, you know, sometimes everybody runs different. Like how I go through aid stations is sometimes I slow up quite a bit, right? I make sure I get down that water, but then I surge out. You know, I surge out to make up the time. I don't know. This is how I've just kind of done it. And it's how I've trained. So I like people to take hills very slow uphill. I don't want you to feel forced to stay with that little ticket sign. You know, take it so slow and let gravity help you on the backside. So it's kind of like running your own race and trusting what you did in training. It might keep you better engaged in the race and better trusting, like feeling what you're feeling. I don't know if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Because people are constantly writing posts after the fact that just crack my ass up. It's like, oh, I really ran 27.3 miles in Chicago. So my real pace was
you did not
run 27.3
no.
miles.
No, you can't really say that.
You know, stop with the GPS is not 100% accurate,
no.
For Christ's sake. There is no
we all
such
know
thing.
This.
If I gave 100 runners the same model Garmin, the same model Coros, as we know, I'm a big Coros guy, or Polar, if we all put them on and ran the same loop in Central Park, that we'd be lucky if we found two of them that match, okay? They're just, it's just.
I mean, sure, one day is different than the next day, too. So it's like, you know, you can't really go off that.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. So just be prepared, whether it's a pace band around your wrists. I've seen ones where, and I've used one in Chicago where you can like literally do a transfer onto your arm and you see the splits.
Yeah.
Kilometers or miles. It's a different color. So it switches for red and blue for Chicago. There's a couple of companies that make them, but it's so easy. If you're using any sort of a belt, any sort of a fuel belt that goes around your waist, whatever it might be, where you put gels, I've just taken to taking a little index card. I write with a big Sharpie my 5K ones, like I said, to 20K and then 20 to 40K. And I usually just laminate it or something like that. And I fold it in half and I tuck it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, after a while, you kind of know what you're going to be looking
for. Yeah. You will get into like a groove, you know, where you're like not, you do find that groove. We've trained this pace so many times. So you will fall in a groove where it's not falling off, really, you know. But you also can't freak out if your watch doesn't work. Which it will happen at some point if you race enough. I've been there. It just doesn't, things are going totally rogue or it doesn't work. Or so that's why it is good to kind of get a little bit used to trust in the course time too. And just knowing your pace, feeling it, checking
Absolutely.
Your breathing and stuff. Like, so what are we now? Oh, yeah. So we went through Brooklyn and now we're climbing into Queens. Right, almost halfway.
We're gonna get ready to climb up to our first bridge, basically.
Yeah.
Right? So take us there, man. I mean, because we're switching boroughs too.
So it's like the Pulaski Bridge, right, or something like that. I don't know. You know better than me. We go in. It's not so big though.
Yeah, it's the it's definitely the Pulaski. You know, basically, it's pretty straightforward. You know, coming out of Brooklyn into that section. Pretty flat.
It's nothing crazy.
I don't like the Pulaski myself. I mean, and I got to tell you that if you, I think any of the bridges in New York, if you're, you know, we don't run bridges. I mean, although I did during this cycle, I trained with the Bandit group who's headquartered out in Greenpoint. So I slept out there on Saturdays and did a bunch of long runs with them. And I got to tell you, some of these bridges that I used to hate, I don't hate them as much anymore. I mean, the Williamsburg, they're all beautiful bridges, but I mean, look, they're all hilly.
This is the thing. I know people like flat courses because they're faster, right? But I hate flat courses. I hate you know, racing flat or even training in flat, because you're just using that same muscle over and over. And you're like, give me, this is why you have to just love this. Just give me another muscle group to use, change it up. So yeah, maybe it's a little bit tougher or maybe it's a little bit slower, but we just appreciate these bridges because it just changes it up. All of a sudden you're going here, there, you're not just running straight anymore. You're firing up the calves. You're getting those It's actually really good for your, you know, body, your turnover to hit these hills. You know, it's a change of pace. It's a chance to actually snap your head too. Say you're struggling a little bit and then you have this hill, then you can mentally say, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this hill a little bit slower because we're climbing. And then on the backside, I'm just letting gravity take me. Sometimes that just snaps you out of it. You know, you've been doing flats and all of a sudden your stride can change. And just how you're running, your pace can change and it can snap you back into the race. So really embrace these hills.
Yeah, good strategy. And, you know, look, it's really only about a 50-foot climb. So it's nowhere near it's like Verrazano, but it's still, it is a climb. And as Kate just said, when you've been running pretty flat stretches for a pretty long while, and of course, these are New York City roads, people, man, we're not talking about pancake flat, perfectly level roads.
Yeah, no.
Expect some potholes. You got cant in the road to, you know, to drain. So, you know, find your spot. You know, don't be bouncing around. Don't go get your water or Gatorade on the right side one time and go to the left side and be bouncing all over the course. Pick a side, you know, stay.
That adds distance if you're hopping here and there, right? Yeah. But I would also say just be careful not to run on the constant slant. Some of the roads, you know, it's kind of, if you can be in the middle. I know you like the crowds, but like that can really ding you up a little. So just be careful with that.
I like the middle. I always favor right center or left center on every course, including Boston, because I want to give myself my angle to the aid stations. And, you know, let's be courteous of all our other runners, people. We're not the only ones out there, man. You got 50,000 crazy ass running friends with you on your right.
Oh, yeah.
And pretend like you're driving a car, man. You don't just switch lanes if you're driving, man. You look over your shoulder. You make sure it's clear. I stick my hand out to the right or left. Even when a left-hand turn is coming or a turn, I stick my hand out. I don't assume that people know the course the way that I do. And it might help somebody. They might see your hand out and go, oh, okay, a turn's coming here. Let me ease off the throttle a little and not ram into this dude and run him over. So have a plan. Just a little bit shorter strides going up the hills is always a good strategy. And on the way down, like Kate said, just let gravity take over. It doesn't mean, you know, run like you're on, you know, doing ski jumps and all of a sudden, you know, you're running, you know, 100-meter pace, but, you know, open things up a little, flow down. And, you know, that takes you into Queens, man. So we're into Queens. It's Coming to America. It's Akeem, do not take my pocket money for any fans of Coming to America. My favorite scene. But yeah, Queens is fun. You know, we're not there too long either, because what's waiting for us after we fill with the Pulaski?
This is the turning point of, like, I feel like the whole race, it's right here. When you go the Queensboro, now that one is just, that's, you know, you're going in, it's almost eerie because it's like all the crowds die, right? And then you're just climbing and that's a climb. Like, that's a climb. And that's the turning point of the race, I feel like, is the Queensboro Bridge, right? So when you hit there, this is the climb I'd say, okay, check yourself on this climb, slow it back down and evaluate, like, how am I doing fueling? What's going on? How am I feeling? How's everything? Like, just do a check because it's quieting down and you can check your whole self so you can reevaluate on the other side. It's like you're in kind of like purgatory there. And then you can figure it out. Am I going to go to heaven or hell at the backside? It's like, I don't know, but I'm figuring it out as I'm climbing up.
Yes. And also, as Kate alluded to, it is the very first time in the course where all of a sudden you're not going to have any crowd around you. There won't be any crowd at all. There will be no crowd there. Now, there's always some New York Roadrunners people that are in those spots on the course. There's timing mats there to make sure people are running the whole course. Last year, we had record heat, and I saw a couple of runners fall down in front of me that I didn't even know if they had had a heart attack or something worse, because the way they fell just was scary. And I felt horrible for the EMTs who had to run up that ridiculous ramp and get to those runners in that heat with all their gear on. So it is a great time for self-reflection. It's not going to feel comfortable or normal to all be in a quiet zone or a dead zone. But you know what? For me, I think it's a perfect time if you use a mantra, if you have like a higher purpose of why you're doing this race, you're running for charity, did somebody pass that you're honoring, all of those kinds of things, they're the moments to tune in, you know, when it becomes quiet or challenging or difficult. Man, if you got your mantra written down somewhere, mine stay in the fight. But whatever it is, man, if you're running for somebody that you've lost or some purpose or involved with a charity, just think about like something that's bigger than you, because, hey, man, it is no joke that hill. It's not comfortable for anybody.
It's not comfortable for anybody. I mean, it's really, you're in the meat of the race now. You are. You're in it. And it's a tough one. So, you know, just, but I took that climb so slow, like almost where I thought like, man, is this smart? Is it too slow? But what happens is when you turn on the top of it, you know, you hear those crowds, like it almost like a pull that my pace went just right back. So I like took a deep breath up and then I came down. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going, we're bringing it right back. Like I kind of felt like I was falling off pace. And then I was climbing. I'm like, oh man, that's it. I'm like really off pace. Then I got to the top, back into the crowds. And I'm like, oh no, it's like a slingshot. Just sling you back right into the, you know, okay, we're going, we're going, we're good, we're good. So use it. Use it when you come down. I mean, I'm not saying fire off like a 4-minute mile, but, you know, use it to get you back on pace. Say you're struggling, right? You're struggling and you're like, oh no, things are falling off. But it won't. I'm telling you, go down the backside, get near those crowds, let them feed your soul, and then just get right back on pace. You can. You still can get on pace. Every one of you after this climb can get back on pace, because you're still only like, what are we, like, you're like, what, 16 miles coming off of that?
16, yeah.
When 16 you, when, to 18?
16.
You, when you come, still got when, it. You still you got
come,
it.
Yeah, when you come down that ramp, you know, the story I like to tell everyone that maybe it's has like, never watched New York City in person on television. Oh, yeah. And if you watch it on television, it's a different, the experience is incredibly different as a runner versus being out there on the course and cheering. And then also watching it on television audience. The thing that I always like to do is I compare everything in life to movies. So to me, it is a scene right out of fucking Gladiator, man. Because if you've ever watched Gladiator, and I probably watched that movie like 50 times, I mean, when they go into that arena and those crowds are going crazy and they're in there and it's live or die, like it's hard to put into words what the energy is like. But when you come down that ramp and you hear those people screaming, I mean, the hairs on my body stand up. I mean, I literally get chills. I literally become a different person. And I've told the story 100 times because I don't want anybody to, I don't want it to happen to you or anybody who's listening. Every single person that's run this race for the first time has probably crashed and burned after running 16 through 18, 30, 40, maybe even 50 seconds a mile faster.
Okay, don't get that running. Fast. That's what I'm
and
saying.
Like, oh no. And I see my man Antonio saying exactly the same experience like Gladiator. Yes, my brother. We're right at the stage. But I've gone from, you know, I'm running 650, 655s, and all of a sudden I'm like, oops, 610, 615.
No.
Just do.
Yeah, and you can't do that. Could you roll? Honestly, it gives you almost goosebumps. And this surge, you're going to have a surge of adrenaline. And if you don't, I don't know what's going on, right? You're going to get a surge of adrenaline. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden you can run a minute faster, because you're going to like be crawling up Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
So all that surge of adrenaline does is put you back on pace, right? Don't start and like fuel. I mean, like, oh my gosh, I gotta get fuel down. I'm gonna stay on pace, but don't take that surge of adrenaline. Like, look at me, because 16 is still 16, right? You still got 10 more miles and some brutal miles. Oh, so just use it to get back on pace, not 5 minutes faster than pace.
this is the point where I don't care. I may be the one telling you, don't keep looking at your watch all the time, but you better look at your watch. You better check yourself.
Oh, yeah. You have to check yourself. You will get so much adrenaline that you're just like, ooh.
Yeah. And then guess what? When you use up your oxygen fuel and, you know, the turbo boosters on the rocket fire.
It's like a 2-mile boost. And then you're like,
thank you. I'm at 18 and I have 8 miles to go. What have I just done? I'll tell you what you've just done. You've committed the rookie New York City Marathon.
Yeah, don't do that. You know, don't do that.
fail zone. So don't, so please don't do it. Please come back on after it's over or comment after. I listened, just like Antonio said, the Seeming Gladiator. I didn't blow my race up because I promise you what's waiting for you is going to require a lot. It's going to require a lot. So you have to buckle down. Okay. This is a segment, Kate, we're New Yorkers, so it's different for us. People who are listening could be from all around the world. This is a spot, if you have friends out on the course, and I say this all the time, this is a spot where I call it a two-for-one spot, right? So for me, if I were going to tell somebody where to meet me, I'd say maybe like 100th, 95th,
105th, something like that,
on the west corner of the block, okay? As soon as they hand me a bottle of Coca-Cola, Gatorade, whatever it is I'm looking for, maybe it's gels, maybe it's a candy bar for Christ's sakes, whatever it is you need at that point, they can basically, it's a two-for-one. They can cut right across back to Fifth Avenue and get back to where they're going to see you face the toughest damn mile of this course a few miles
because later. When you come over that Queensboro, you're going to have a surge in adrenaline, and that's going to carry you for 2 miles. I mean, this is like across the board. Then 18, things start feeling real, like really real. And so you need something from that 18 to 20. It's crucial, right? 8 miles left is like, oh man, that's, so you need something for that 18 to 20, you know, before we're like heading into the Bronx up Fifth Avenue. That's a crucial point in the race. That mile 18 to 20 is actually, I think, even bigger than coming up fifth. If you got to piece that together, you have to like, what am I going to do to keep me just firing through my miles there until I turn up to Fifth Avenue? That's where it gets dicey, you know? So that's what you said. Have a cheer crowd there. Use the crowds. Sometimes, you know what, if you take caffeine, like a run gum or anything, that might be the time to be like, I'm taking my run gum. I'm taking some caffeine at 18, between 18 and 20. I'm, you know, slapping my face 3 times. I don't know, just something, right? I always do a little caffeine because for me, I don't know if it works or not, but it's a mental, like, this is my next boost. I'm going to take a little run gum here and, you know, keep it going.
Agree. Whatever your strategy is, whatever item is going to give you the maximum. And for me, it's Coca-Cola late. It could be some kind of sugar candy, whatever it is. Just make sure it's not something
like a little boost, just something.
Make sure it's not something you haven't tried in your whole life. All of a sudden, you're like on the side of the road hurling.
Oh, yeah. We don't need that.
All competitors or everybody who's cheering for you. And so as you make your way up, you hit the fourth bridge, which is the Willis Avenue Bridge.
Yep.
People say there's no climb there. Man, there's a climb in all of these friggin' bridges.
There's always a climb.
And when you're
you'll feel the climb. When you're at mile 20, you'll feel the climb.
You feel it. And when you roll up the Willis Avenue Bridge and you get to the other side, you know, that's when you get the big, big energy, man, you know, because you're entering the Bronx. And again, these are short stays, but the Bronx brings it, man. They bring it.
Oh, yeah, they do.
No question.
They do.
And exciting. And you know what I like in that section? You're running long, straight stretches for a really long time, all the way to First Avenue. Now you get some turns. You're changing direction. And you talked about it before, Kate, of like going up the hills is good because you're now breaking up the muscle groups.
Well, but the turns are good, too.
Those
mental
turns help.
It's a mental break. Yeah. You know why it does? Again, it's the same thing. It's going to change your stride and how you're stepping. And sometimes if I'm desperate to stay on pace, I use those turns. I'll do like surge. You can do this. And this is a trick I've done. If I'm falling off pace, right, I'll do what I call strides in the race. I'll run 30 seconds almost over pace and then fall back in, but it boosts me enough where it gives me that I'm staying. Just to change my strides, use different muscles. So these turns are perfect to be like, I'm boosting. I'm going to run a little faster and then fall in if you're falling off pace. If not, just keep ticking. But I am one to kind of fall off pace at mile 20. So I need something to keep me on. So I'm like, all right, we're going to do some little 30-second strides on the turns. And then we're going to get back in. So this is a perfect place to do that if you need to get back into your pace.
Whatever's going to give you the boost there. And man, if you can get some family members or friends out there late in the course, there's no better places than to get the juice. And I don't know that there's a bigger high energy spot than Boogie Down Bronx, man, before you cross your final bridge.
But when you think you're at 20, you're coming home. Like, you're coming home. So at this point, you're just holding things together. Like, you're getting there. You're getting there. And it's exciting. Like, I really love hitting 20 in the marathon because it's like, we're there. We are there. So it's just about holding that together.
And then fit that. The best sign in the race, and we're all going to have our favorites, but on the Madison Avenue Bridge, there's a sign that says the last fucking bridge. So that will always be my favorite because it's like, if I have to run one more bridge, I'm literally going to like jump off of one. So yeah, that'll be your last bridge. And then you scale that, you make a left-hand turn, and then we're back on Fifth Avenue. And we're getting ready for the real party to start when we start heading towards Fifth Avenue, right?
Oh, this is my, I've never done Fifth Avenue as well as I would have liked because I don't know, it's like that brutal, like little uphill, but if you pace this right, there's crap. I mean, there has been no like louder, more exciting race finish than going through Fifth Avenue around Central Park. I mean, it's amazing. Right. It's absolutely amazing. And typically what happens is when I was running at about with 1 mile or like 2 miles left, they have the top guys are coming. So you have the helicopters, you have the motorbikes, you have the lead men passing me. And I always thought it was amazing because I would just be like, use that energy, right, to just spur it on. But you're going to have so much energy coming up there. So even if you feel like every wheel has fallen off, just lean into the crowds, you know, use them because they're going to give you something to carry you up and around.
No question. I mean, I always feel like Marcus Garvey Park, you know, going around there, there's great energy in there. You buzz around there, you get onto Fifth. Fifth is still flat at that section. But we all know where the real race starts, man. Because when you start to climb on Fifth Avenue in that section, and look, we're spoiled. We live here. We run it all the time. If we go out there and run that section of Fifth Avenue on tomorrow's run or on Wednesday's run, we're not going to be sitting there going,
You'll say, why is this a climb? This isn't a climb. Oh, yeah. But this, you are allowed. There's like a law in New York. You're allowed to actually say many cuss words. Yes. On Fifth Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Every customer, you're allowed to just swear the entire time up. Yep. And it's totally allowed.
Not only is it allowed, you could be like, I'm glad Kate and Ron warned me, man, because this motherfucker.
But we won't be there. It doesn't matter if you're running 550 miles, 450 miles, 10-minute miles, 15-minute miles. It's all the same. It's just, it's not fair to any of us.
Yeah.
But that's the good part because this is why when you finish New York City, it's like, I did something today. That's why I love it. It's not just like some rolling around on the flat pancake. Like you really work to get your time and you're going to come across that finish line. Like, yeah, I earned it. I earned it.
Hell yeah, you earned it. But we didn't get there yet.
I was getting ahead of myself. I was just getting too excited because you know what? Not even Fifth Avenue. And when you go into Central Park, there's a lot more going on. It's juicy at the end. It's so juicy.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, that's why we love the New York City Marathon because it gets very juicy at the end.
Yeah. And when you enter the park at, you know, 90th and 5th at Engineers Gate, and that's usually where I host my shakeout because I like to talk to people about that mile up 5th and what it's going to feel like versus just looking at it. It doesn't even look like a hill when you're standing there looking back.
No.
When you enter the park, it's just this, I don't know. It's like the scene in the movie where, you know,
because you're off the streets, you know, you're off the streets.
Yeah.
It's very neat.
And now you have all these people there to want to perform. So I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how wiped out you are. I don't care what level you're at. They'll bring you back. And what I always tell people, whether you have your name written across your bib or it's written on the back of your jersey or your jog bra or your arm or on your head on a hat, like New Yorkers, they want to give you the love. They want to give you the energy. So what I say is if you're struggling and you're having a rough go, man, run over towards the side, one side of the other.
Yeah.
And just
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And that's what I do. I'll be like, let's go. What the hell? Let's go. Like, you will.
So you like talking to people. I don't talk to anybody at this point. Like, my head's down. Yeah. I'm like, don't. But I go to the side because I want to hear them say my name. Because every time you hear a cheer, a crowd, it does, even if you're just done, it does help to be near the crowd because they will give you something. Like, it does. People help people. Like, use the people running, use the crowd. Even, yeah, use people on the course, right? You're going to be around. Talk in with somebody to get you through. And I've done this in ultra marathons when I'm really hitting a low and poor people that I put this on, but I'll find someone to talk to, right? Because what happens is your brain can't do multiple things at once. So it kind of forgets your pain because you're talking to somebody. And it snaps you out of it. So that's actually a good strategy too towards the end of the race. If you can just chat with someone, just a little bit. I'm not saying if you're flying along, because I couldn't do this in a marathon, but I've done it in ultra marathon and it works. And the poor people I talk to, I mean, they probably think I'm slightly, but it works. You know this, like just start, like if you start chatting a little, your head's like, I don't know what's happening. So it can help you snap out of any of the discomfort on the down below.
Yeah, no question. And running clubs, local teams, they have their hangouts. Central Park Track Club, we both run for. You know, they have the Wall of Orange on the right side, entering in the park there. But, you know, almost every running team or running club of any size or substance, they're going to be there. So find out where your people are going to be. If you're running for a club team, make sure you know where they're going to be. What side of the road are they going to be on? Because let me tell you something, man, it's the difference. It'll give you 10 seconds a mile. I promise you, man. Or you might be walking at that point and you see they're coming. You're like, I'm not walking. We'll boom, by past my team. I gotta start running again.
Like, oh boy.
Let's go.
Yeah. They'll hold you accountable. So you'll be like, oh, better start like looking like I know what I'm doing, like chin up, like I'm good, I'm good.
hell yeah. So as we make our way through the park, our last real hill is, you know, kind of over by the boats, and you know where we do the rowboats and people go out on the lake, you know, over in that section we have that one last climb, and then you're going to basically hit, I'm pretty sure it's mile 25 is over there as we're exiting, as we exit towards Central Park South.
Yeah, that's mile 25.
Yeah, so we run, you know, over by the plaza. We could stop and look for Kevin, you know, and, you know, Home Alone 2. You know, maybe he's out on the course. Maybe he'll invite us up to his parents' suite and we can have some candy and watch some movies with him, which is probably what most of us would want to do at that point. But the crowds are ridiculously deep at that point, man. They're gonna be there for you. They're going to will you on. And, man, it seems like it takes about 50 years to run that block just to get back to Columbus Circle. And even on your best days when you're really feeling it. So these distances, I don't know. I always say, you know how the sign says objects are closer than they appear. In the marathon, it's the opposite. The Citgo sign in Boston, wherever it is, it seems like somebody's moving it away from you. In New York, the same thing. It's like before we get to turn onto Columbus Circle, it's like, wait a minute, how am I not there yet? You know?
And listen, some people be like, oh, you got to just soak it in at all this point. I mean, that's kind of like bullshit. I mean, you just ran 25 miles. I think I kind of blacked out at that point. I'm so miserable, right? You're just trying to get to the end. You know what? Suffer that last mile. Don't soak it in if you don't want. Just get to the finish. You got to just do what you got to do at that point. I don't remember one thing from that last mile. I'm just like, got to get home, got to get to that line, keep it together, because it can be rough. So, you know, it's like do what you can. There's going to be loud. If you want to soak it in. If you're miserable, just keep plowing because it's coming around that turn. So either way.
Yeah. And then even as we know, being local runners, you know, you get into Columbus Circle, and I think you have like 300 yards to go from there. It seems like it's way more like a half mile or longer, because you're like, oh, this isn't a hill. We run this every day. And it's like, oh, I can't even get up this hill.
Especially when you see the big clock ticking.
Yeah.
So if you have a time in mind, I'm saying this as like a, just so you know, because I know people want to do sub 3s or sub 3:30 or sub 4s. don't think you're going to do a sprint. You just don't, you're not going to have a sprint finish. That clock ticks, it's uphill. So you want to make sure you have a little, like you put a little in the bag because it's tough at the end. And it's a long run when you see that clock and it's a little bit uphill. So you definitely want to have a little tucked away because it's not a fast finish. Yeah. It's a good finish. It's just not a fast finish.
It's you, they you don't got really that right.
Sit down, yeah. You know?
That last little section by Tapping on the Green, it can be cruel, just as you said, because the seconds just evaporate.
Yeah, they do.
Especially, seemingly always is when you're trying to get to that round number and you're so close. It's like, I can't get there. It's
and
like
I've been gravity. There. I mean, I've done it many races where I've tried a time and I've seen the time tick over on the clock. It's like, but New York, yeah, it will do that. So you just got to make sure that you just put a little in before you are coming around that bent, you know, in the race. So
yeah. Well, this has been fun, man. We had some good commentary going on during our conversation. I saw some great things flashing in the notes, man. But we do have people that are still here that have still been on. Does anybody have any questions for Kate or myself on the course or anything to do with race weekend? Even if you don't have one right now, this obviously will go up to both of our feeds. So you can hit us back in the comments if you have questions on anything we covered, or just even if we didn't cover something, maybe we didn't get something that's on your mind and it's important and you feel like you want somebody to give you an answer. I promise you one of us or both.
Yeah,
of us
we'll definitely. I mean, I'm happy to give any. I mean, I know things pop up that you just never think about, or you just want someone like, hey, like I'm nervous about the bathrooms. I'm like, listen, don't be nervous about bathrooms. 25% of my marathons I've run. And I don't know. I'm like probably I'm not at you, Ron, but you're a little bit older than me. So I think I've done like 18, 19, maybe 20. But I went to the bathroom. I've used a porta potty. I just go. Sorry, gotta go. Like that's life. Just it's okay. It doesn't mean it's a race ruiner, you know, like some things come up where you're like, what about if I drop my nutrition, or what about if, you know, there's things that come up, but we'll try to answer them. We just want you guys to have a great race, a fantastic race. Absolutely. You know, like I would love that more than anything.
Absolutely. And I see Heath Mishka says, I love you, Kate. So whoever Heath Mishka is, one of your Instagram followers. And I got my girl, Jeremy, LOL Space Monkey, who's coming on with me IG Live this week. She wants to know best place to get post-race grub. I think the best way to deal with that, Jeremy, is I'll be doing story posts like all week, but it will depend. Do you want burgers? Do you want pizza? They're literally the two most go-to things that marathoners eat. And even if you're vegan, I mean, you could still have, you know, plant-based burgers, stuff like that, plant-based pizza.
Great for everybody, you know, like I'm plant-based, but like almost any restaurant nowadays is like catering to both sides, you know? Yeah. So you're in New York City. You're going to find somewhere great to eat.
Yeah.
You just no place that you're not going to find great to eat.
100%. But I will say this though, Jeremy, because for me, I have celiac, so it's a little trickier for me. I do have a go-to place in the city. It's called NIZZA, NIZZA, New York City. It's in Hell's Kitchen. They make gluten-free pizza. They make vegan pizza. They make gluten-free pasta. They make regular pasta. They make an amazing array of foods that are all healthy. I mean, they even make gluten-free focaccia bread for me with like olive oil. But like they're small, there's outdoor tables. You can eat at the bar. You'll feel like you're in Italy eating there. The food's amazing. So a lot of times I'll host like pasta dinners or pizza/dinners with friends of mine who also have to worry about celiac or eating gluten-free or vegan. So that's one of my go-to places. And then next door to it is Five Napkin Burger, man. And that, you know, so the two of them together, it's a winning combo.
I would say if you're on the Upper West Side, I'm on Columbus, but if you're down from the 60s all the way up to 78th, I mean, you walk up Columbus, you got one good place after another, and they all have the menus on the outside, and you're going to find something. I mean, they got everything. You just take a little stroll or roll or carry at that point, and you'll find something good, you know?
We marathoners will eat just about any fucking
pretty much at that point. I mean, literally. To be honest, though, my head's in the toilet after every race because I have a sensitive stomach. And then I come around about 3 hours later and I'm like, where's the food? And my husband's like, oh my God, like every time, what's wrong with you? But I'm like, I'm hungry now.
Oh oh, we need the food now.
Yeah,
and for that's people it. Who are listening, people are listening who actually know me versus tuning into this IG, I might be throwing a little party in the city at my hotel. So we'll see. I usually stay at the Trump on Central Park West, which is right there, amazing location. So we usually try to do some kind of little shindig. Although last year it got blown up by the hot weather. We were all destroyed from the race and nobody wanted a party, including me. So we have to see how the race goes, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll do a little hangout thing and, you know, I'll post some stuff on a shakeout. And like I said, there'll only be 85 shakeouts going on. So, yeah. you know, pick and choose wisely. Obviously, you want to come to my shakeout, right? I mean, come
yeah.
on. Seriously? I mean, is there a decision to make here? Come on. I mean, let's go.
Exactly.
Let's go, people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, does anybody have any questions before we roll out, man? Because, you know, we can take a couple questions if anybody has anything. I'm waving to people here since I'm like multitasking over here. Since, you know, I'm trying to do what I can. Anybody have any questions? No? If not, we're probably going to sign off. This will yep. go on our pages. And like I said, please feel free to hit us in the comments on anything, food.
Yeah, shoot us questions.
You know, whatever it might be, hit us up. And to everybody that's lacing them up, man, have a great race, man. Have fun. It's yeah. epic. It's the Five Borough Block Party, man. It's party time, man. You know, you worked your ass off for this. And, you know, get out there. Take care of your business. But you can have fun too, okay?
Yeah,
you can
have fun too,
man.
There's
nothing that says that you can't rip a fast time and have fun.
Exactly.
You can do both.
Great. Exactly. All right. That's it,
everybody.
Happy running.
Thanks so much for joining, everybody. Kate, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom.
Of course. Really
appreciate the chat, and I'm gonna like shut us down now. So take care, everybody.
Hey, that was so much fun. Definitely enjoyed the IG live format and the back and forth conversation style with Kate and I. We also had people dropping in comments during the conversation and some questions. So we kind of tried to just keep it flowing back and forth and just share our different viewpoints and experiences with you all. Hope it's helpful. You'll have some time to listen to this or watch the IG live before the race. And if you have any questions after watching or listening to the pod, please drop us a line. We want to make sure everybody out there is prepared as best they can be. This could be your first. It could be your 50th. Who knows? Whatever it is, get out there, man, and just rock it big time. Connect with the crowd. Enjoy the race. And just be part of the amazing Five Borough Block Party experience that is New York City, the greatest marathon in the world. So I hope to see a bunch of you this weekend. And I hope to connect with you in the village or out there on the course, making our way over to the finish line of Tavern on the Green. Wishing everybody well. Keep lacing them up, my friends. Keep getting out the door. And always remember to stay in the fight. Peace out, my friends.